This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. I welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. A beautiful Wednesday evening, walhamdulillah, and our majlis of ilm, our majlis of dhikr, our majlis of knowledge, our majlis of the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Brothers and sisters, in our previous majlis, we had completed ahadith number 25 and 26. Those two ahadith dealing with the topic of acts of charity. You don't have money, you can still give charity. You have no gold, you have no silver, you have no rands, no dirhams, no dinars, you can still give charity. They came to our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور. The rich, they have taken away and they've gone with all of the rewards. They pray as we pray. They fast as we pray, as we fast. And they also give sadaqah with their excess wealth, which we don't have. We don't have that ability to give this charity. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, أَوَلَيْسَ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مَا تَصَدَّقُونَ. Has not Allah provided for you that which you can give in charity? Then the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, he informed them, he taught them, إِنَّ بِكُلِّ تَسْبِيحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ. Every subhanallah is sadaqah. Wa kulli takbiratin sadaqah. Every Allahu Akbar is sadaqah. Wa kulli tahmidatin sadaqah. Every alhamdulillah is sadaqah. Wa kulli tahlilatin la ilaha illallah is sadaqah. Wa amrun bil ma'roof, ordering the good, forbidding the evil, all of this is sadaqah. In fact, he went on and he said, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةٌ. And the intimate relationship between the husband and the wife, that act, this is also sadaqah. They were shocked. Ya Rasulullah, أَيَأْتِ أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتَهُ وَيَكُونُ لَهُ فِيهَا أَجْرٌ. Any one of us, he satisfies his desires and he will get a reward for that. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ أَكَانَ فِيهَا وِزْرٌ. If he satisfied himself in the haram, would he not earn sin? Obviously. Well, so if he satisfied himself in the halal, then he will earn a reward from that. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. We discussed, walhamdulillah, the biography of the narrator Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala. We went through the various types and forms and classifications of sadaqah. Even if you don't have anything whatsoever, the fact that you do not harm people, the fact that you stay away from harming people, this is also a sadaqah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to that companion, takuffu sharrak anin nas, that you hold back your evil from the people. If you have nothing to give, you have no good, well, at least you prevent your harm from reaching them, and that will be recorded as a sadaqah for you. We also discussed that at the end of this hadith, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an example of qiyas al-aks, qiyas, an analogy. Well, if you satisfy yourself in haram, this will be a sin. Well, if you do so in halal, this will be a reward for you. And this is called Qiyas al-Aks. We also discussed the Zahiri scholars, the literalist scholars. They denied the usage of certain types of Qiyas. And they said that Iblis was the first one to use this type of Qiyas. What did he say? خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين. I was created from fire, and this Adam, he was created from dust, and fire is better than dust. So how can I go and bow down to this individual? How can I prostrate to this Adam? And so the Zahiri scholars, Ibn Hazm, Dawood al-Zahiri, and others, they said the first one to use this qiyas was Iblis, and thus we do not accept it as one of the tools of proof, as one of the tools of deriving and legislation. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we we also deduced other benefits from this hadith, many paths to pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have the ability. Do not look down any type of matter that you might think is small. Rather, they are major with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it be just smiling to the face of your brother, smiling to the face of your sister, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. We then went through hadith number 26. And on the similar topic, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the matters of sadaqah. He mentions the types of sadaqah. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises us that every single day that the sun rises, we are supposed to be giving some sort of sadaqah. You helping your brother put the goods on his animal, this is a type of sadaqah. Making peace between two individuals or judging between them, this is a type of sadaqah. If for example you remove some harm from the pathway of the people, this is a type of sadaqah. A good word, saying a good word, bringing some sort of happiness to the hearts of people, this is sadaqah. Walking to the masjid, walking towards your salah, this is sadaqah. All different types, subhanallah. And your salatul duha, as we found in some narrations, your salatul duha, it also suffices for the sadaqah of the entire day, walhamdulillah. And so, brothers and sisters, we should all be from amongst those who give in sadaqah, whether it be with our wealth, or whether it be in kind, my tasbih, my takbir, my saying a good word, my removing a harm from the pathway of the people, my helping the individual, whatever it, my smiling to people, subhanallah, being cheerful, all of these are types of sadaqah. And subhanallah, we gauge from this that the religion, the deen of al-Islam, is not something super narrow, but rather it is comprehensive and all encompassing, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. We now move on to hadith number 27, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Hadith number 27. An Nawas ibn Sama'an radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, al-birru husnul khuluq. Subhanallah. My Nabi, your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He said that birr, al-birru husnul khuluq, righteousness, it is good character. Having good character is part and parcel of righteousness. وَالْإِثْمُ مَا حَاكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ وَكَرِهْتَ أَنْ يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ. And as for sin, sin is what wavers in your soul, very uneasy in your heart, very shaky in your heart and uneasy. This is sin. Sin does this. And that which you dislike the people finding out about, it gives you uneasiness in your heart, and you also do not want people to find out about it. Rawahu Muslim. Imam al-Nawawi, in reality, although he mentions hadith number 27, he's brought two ahadith, not one. He's brought two ahadith. The first one being the hadith of An-Nawas ibn Sama'an, which we just went through. And then he brings the other hadith, an Wabisa ibn Ma'bad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal, ataytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wabisa says, I came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to me, faqala ji'ta tas'alu anil birri wal ithm. Subhanallah. As I came to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to me, you came to ask about righteousness and about sin? And qultu na'am, I said, yes, that's what I came to ask about. Qala istafti qalbak. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? He said, seek counsel from your heart. Ask your heart. Consult with your heart. Istafti qalbak. Albirru matma'annat ilayhi an-nafs wa tuma'anna ilayhi al-qalb. As for birr, it is that which grants tranquility to the heart and to the nafs. Albirru matma'anna ilayhi an-nafs wa tuma'anna ilayhi al-qalb. Righteousness, your nafs will be happy with it, will be settled with it, would be at peace with it, and your heart would also be at peace with it. But as for ithm, as for sin, مَا حَاكَ فِي النَّفْسِ وَتَرَدَّدَ فِي الصَّدْرِ وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسِ وَأَفْتَوكَ. As for, As for sin, then sin is that which makes the soul waver uneasy and makes the breast uneasy. Even if people give you their verdict and their fatwa on it, and even if they continue to give you fatwa that it's okay, that it's fine, it will not settle easy upon your heart. Your heart's going to be uneasy. Your heart's going to be wavering. Your heart's going to be in a state of worry. And that is the definition of sin, or the sign of sin that our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given to Abisa. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, we have two ahadith before us, insha'Allah. The first one, the hadith of An-Nawas ibn Sama'an. The takhrij number one, insha'Allah. Takhrij, the books of transmission and recordings. Where will we find this hadith? In Sahih Muslim, in Sahih al-Bukhari, in the Sunan of Imam at-Tirmidhi and others. As for hadith number two, the hadith of Wa'bisa, then this one found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed and the Sunan of Imam ad-Darimi. And this narration, there's a great discussion around it with regards to its authenticity, and Imam As-Suyuti, Sheikh Al-Albani and others are of the opinion that it is Hasan Lighairihi, that it is acceptable, that reaches the level of acceptability due to the other narrations and the other additional narrations similar to it. Walhamdulillah. Number two, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, the narrators. Number one, An-Nawas ibn Sam'an radiyallahu ta'ala an. He was an individual who embraced al-Islam, and his father also embraced al-Islam. And so, as some ulama said, it might have been a bit more appropriate for Imam al-Nawawi to rather say radiyallahu anhuma, and not radiyallahu an. May Allah have mercy upon both of them, Nawas and his father, because both of them were Muslim. He was from amongst the people of the Ahlul Sufa. He lived in Sham after the passing away of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he narrates 17 ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Something which is peculiar to him, that our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had married his sister Asma bint An-Nu'man. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her, and she is one of those few females that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam divorced even before consummation of the marriage. What happened? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered upon her, and she said to him, "A'udhu billahi mink. I seek Allah's protection from you. I make ta'awudh. I seek Allah's protection from you." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you've sought Allah's protection from me, how can we be together? And so, you know, he departed from her, he left her, and they then separated. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. This mas'ala and this matter, in the seerah books, you find that a great discussion. Why did this woman say this? Why did she was married to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why would she ever say this? Some ulama are of the opinion that she had said this due to the fact that she felt that she was better than the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a matter of kibr, it was a matter of pride, and she felt that she was higher than him. That's one reason given by some. And a second reason given by some is that rather she was tricked. She was tricked by the other wives of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they said to her, you know what, when he enters upon you, when you are alone with him, then you should say to him, A'udhu billahi mink, and he likes this. Allahu musta'an, the matters between co-wives, Allahu musta'an. Ala kulli hal, this was the sister of An-Nawas ibn Sam'an, and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam parted with her. Hadith number two was narrated by Wa'bisa ibn Ma'bad, and he had come to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his people in this delegation, and he embraced al-Islam, and he narrates 11 ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We move on to number three, general comments surrounding this hadith. This hadith in reality explains the essence of righteousness, the essence of birr, and it also talks and discusses what is sinfulness. What are the signs of a sin? What are the signs of birr? What are the signs of righteousness? What does sin do to your internals, to your heart, to your chest? What does it make you feel? What about the outward? What's the reaction of people to to sin. So this is these are the general comments surrounding this hadith. We now move on, number 4, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, to the explanation, insha'Allah. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of An-Nawas ibn Sam'an states, Al-birru husnul khuluq, righteousness is good character. What does this mean? It could mean that righteousness, and it has various aspects, it has various departments, it has various angles to it, and good character is one of the angles, one of the aspects of righteousness. And this is the opinion of Sheikh Uthaymeen and others, that good character is one portion of birr, good character, husnul khuluq, having good character, good akhlaq, it is one aspect of righteousness. Other ulama said, no, rather what this hadith means, is that the essential aspect of righteousness is good character. It's like how we say, al-hajju arafah. Hajj is Arafat. Your being there at Arafat, you know, this is like the main matter of Hajj. Does it mean that there's nothing besides Arafat and you don't need to make tawaf around the Kaaba or go to Mina? No. But rather, what this emphasizes is the importance and the super importance of Arafat in terms of the Grand Hajj. Well, here, in terms of righteousness, while good character is super, 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 super important. What does birr mean? We find that there are very various connotations when it comes to the usage of the word birr. Birr could mean ihsan, to be good. To be good, we say birrul walidain. You know, you're being good to your parents. Birrul walidain, you're being in the obedience and you're being good to your parents. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, you know, who's the person that I should be abar to? Who's the person that I should be abar to? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your mother, a few times. Birr also can be used to mean jannah. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, some of the Mufassirin state that لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not reach birr until you spend of what you have. You will not reach birr, righteousness. No, you will not reach jannah. Jannah, birr here means jannah, according to many of the Mufassirin. Number 3, birr could also mean to be truthful, barra fi yaminihi, that he fulfilled his oath. He fulfilled his oath. It could also mean qabool, acceptance. We say, brother, may Allah grant you hajj mabrur, from the word birr. May Allah grant you an accepted hajj. Hajj mabrur, from that word birr, which could mean accepted. Birr could also mean treating others well. And this ties in, obviously, with the ihsan. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and cooperate with one another upon birr and taqwa. Many ulama state birr here means with the people. When you are dealing with the people, you deal with them with birr, with treating them well. What taqwa? Your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both relationships are covered. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and cooperate with one another, be good to one another, treat one another with respect and good character. And taqwa, your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Birr could also mean, number 6, all acts of worship. All types of acts of worship. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. It is not birr, piety, righteousness, that you turn your faces towards the east or the west in prayer, but birr is to have belief in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books, the prophets, and giving one's wealth in spite of one loving it, etc. So here, Allah mentions all types of acts of goodness, of worship, of obedience, they fall under the definition of birr. Al-birru husnul khuluq. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, birr is to have good khuluq. Well, what is khuluq? Khuluq is your character, your behavior. And your behavior could be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's your khuluq? What's your behavior with Allah? What's your behavior with fellow man? What's your behavior with your own self? With your own self. You want to go further? Your behavior with other creatures out there, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, your behavior with the earth. So khuluq is not just, oh mashallah, he's got such good akhlaq, you know, he gives people charity, and he speaks in a very nice tone, and mashallah, he always assists people, but he doesn't pray 5 times a day. He hasn't paid zakah in the past 10 years, although he has the wealth, and he hasn't gone for hajj, even though he has the ability. He doesn't fast in the month of Ramadan, and he's watching pornography, and he's engaging in all of that sin. And we say, no, he's got very good akhlaq. No, 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 no. In terms, as we learned last week, in terms of sadaqah, the definition of the sharia is much broader than you're giving some money. And similarly, khuluq and akhlaq is much broader than just your interaction with fellow man. What about your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Your behavior with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your behavior with fellow man, and your behavior with your own self. And people tend to overlook this part. People tend to overlook the matter of my akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahmed, dealing with riba morning, evening and night. Sumayya, busy in an affair. Allahu musta'an. This brother Salman, not performing his salah or delaying his salah and praying outside of the time. But sometimes we would describe them, he's got very, very good akhlaq, his khuluq. No, 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 no. Khuluq and akhlaq, the plural, is broader than just speaking and treating, you know, the next person well. The one who's doing any of the above and other types of sin, etc., other types of wrong, then this person here is deficient in his behavior with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a deficiency in his akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He might have full stars when it comes to his behavior with others, but what about his relationship and his akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do not forget that, brothers and sisters. So akhlaq also encompasses your behavior with Allah, your behavior with yourself, your behavior with others, and all other living creatures and the earth. We find, subhanallah, living creatures. Fudail, he said that it's not allowed for you to even harm a dog or a pig. We are not allowed to harm a dog or a pig without any just cause. So then he goes further. And so how could you then harm a human being? How could you then harm a Muslim? You're not allowed to harm a dog or a pig, subhanallah, without just cause. Then what about the human being and what about the Muslim? Allah musta'an. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. That good and bad, they are not equal. Rather, you should repel any type of bad with good. Somebody is behaving rather negatively towards you, rather you go the extra mile and you behave in the best manner. ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. And if you should repel the evil with good, maybe that person who was your enemy, you both become friends to one another. Subhanallah. So ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, akhlaq, when it comes to the definition of the sharia, much broader than just your being good to others. Rather, it also encompasses your behavior with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, behavior with other living creatures, behavior with people, behavior with yourself and the earth. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, somebody might say, you know what, this type of character trait, I'm very impatient. You know, my tongue is very, very loose. My language, very, very colorful. Allahu musta'an. You know, he says, I have a very, very bad temper and stuff like this. And I'm born like this. You know, this is how, you know, Allah made me. Don't ask me to change. And somebody praises another. And they say, MashaAllah, you know, this brother is very, very patient. This person, walhamdulillah, is very, very punctual when it comes to salah or whatever it might be. This person's always on time, walhamdulillah. You know, he says, no, oh, you know, this is just my nature, my character. So somebody asks, somebody says, well, you know what? This good character, is it something that I'm just born with and whatever I'm dealt, you know, that's what I have? Or is it something that I can mold? Is it something that I should mold? Is it something that I will be held accountable if I do not mold? The answer is yes. You have to mold. You have to mold your character. It can be molded. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not ask us and hold us accountable for that bad character. And how do you mold this character? You're impatient. How do you become patient? Yes, no doubt it's a jihad. No doubt it requires exertion. Number one, one needs to understand the importance of that good character. Whatever it might be, whether it be giving charity, whether it be being punctual, whether it be having and being patient, whatever it might be, that matter, you need to understand the importance behind it. You need to be convinced with regards to its importance. You should hang around and read about those who have excelled in that department. You should also consider the negative results of that bad character trait. Being impatient. How many divorces have occurred? How many people have taken the lives of others? Allahu musta'an. How many a family has lost a family member due to, somebody being impatient, due to somebody having a very, very bad temper? Allahu musta'an. How many families have broken down due to that bad temper, due to being impatient? Look at the seerah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take an example from there. Take an example from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make dua to Allah. Yes, no doubt it's difficult. It's difficult. You were, you know, a spoiled sport. You were a spoiled sport all of these years. And now you've come of age. And now you've hit that and you've gotten that realization. Make dua to Allah. Number one, praise Allah that you have now realized. It's better than continuing in batil. Ar-ruju' ila al-haq. Returning back to the truth is better than continuing in batil. And so make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, for example, when we look into the mirror, what do we say? Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi. Oh Allah, you have beautified my outside. You've beautified my appearance. Fahassin khuluqi. And so beautify my internal. Beautify my character. Make that dua. Lift up your hands and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the ability to what? To mold your character. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues. Al-birru husnul khuluq. Wal-ithmu ma haka fi nafsik wa karihta an yattali'a alayhi nas. As for sin, then sin is that which, it worries you. It makes you unhappy, makes you uneasy, it worries you. And also, you do not want people to know about it. These are signs that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave for you to gauge whether something's a sin or not. The first one, internal sign. This feeling, you know, that comes to a healthy heart. We are talking about a healthy heart. Don't tell me, oh, but you know what, so and so, he sins morning, evening and night and he feels nothing about it. In fact, he enjoys that sin. Well, that's a dead heart. We are talking about a living heart. We are talking about a healthy heart. The guy is involved in an affair. And, you know, this is not the very uneasy with him. He's involved in that sin. And his desires have gotten the better of him. But his heart is uneasy. He's always in a state of uneasiness and he's worried, subhanAllah. He's unhappy. He doesn't have that sukoon. You will not find that sukoon in this type of relationship. And so, the internal, the feeling that this healthy soul gets with respect to this act is unhappiness, uneasiness. It's very, very worried, very, very uneasy. As for external signs, then you don't want people to know about this. You want to keep this quiet. You want to keep this hidden. You are embarrassed if people find out about it. The fact that you are embarrassed about people finding about this is a sign that there's still some life in your heart. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, why does this occur? Why do you have this feeling in the heart and why are you embarrassed? Why don't you want people to know? It is because of the innate disposition that we have. It is because of that fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. This in our soul, this fitrah, this innate disposition, this inclination towards good. Your soul, it wants good and it does not want even. You want to call it your conscience, you want to call it the fitrah, whatever you call it. This innate quality within the heart, walhamdulillah, that distinguishes and it wants good and it desires that good. It is uneasy with this sin. But when there is something which is good, then it is at peace, walhamdulillah. So this hadith of Nawas ibn Sam'an, in summary, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, Al-birru husnul khuluq, wal-ithmu ma haka fi nafsik. Bir, good character, this is piety and righteousness. And as for sin, it worries the heart and you are afraid and you do not want people to know about it. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we take a short break and when we return, we continue with the narration on the hadith of Wabisa ibn Ma'bad, walhamdulillah. Next hadith, insha'Allah. And the next hadith, the hadith of Wabisa ibn Ma'bad, also within the 27th hadith, as was mentioned, Imam An-Nawawi, due to the fact that both these ahadith deal with the same topic, birr and ithm and sin, he brought them together. Walhamdulillah. Ataytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to me, you came to ask about righteousness, piety and sin? I said, yes. This in reality is a miracle of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is either intuition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or this was inspired to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of his karamat, one of his mu'jiza of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knew the question that this man was about to ask. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to him, Istafti qalbak, consult, do a counsel with your heart. Ask your heart about this matter. Al-birru matma'annat ilayhi nafs. That bir, righteousness, piety, is whatever makes the heart and the soul tranquil. Makes the soul and the heart tranquil. Whatever makes the heart and the soul tranquil, this is righteousness and bir. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Well, ithmu ma haka fi nafs." And as for sin, then this is something which is uneasy in the nafs, uneasy on the soul. Wa taraddada fi sadr, and it wavers and it shakes in the chest. Brothers and sisters, we know that this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions the matter of the heart. And we've discussed previously that super important hadith that in the body of the human being there's a morsel of flesh. If it's correct, the rest of the body is correct. If it's corrupt, the rest of the body is corrupt. How's your heart? Is it healthy? Yes, it might be pumping, masha'Allah, walhamdulillah. And we need to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. No matter how poor you are, no matter how downtrodden you are, no matter whatever the situation might be, everybody wants that heart to pump the next time. Nobody wants it to skip a beat. Give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that heart. But we are talking about the spiritual aspect of that heart. As you sin, a black spot is put onto that heart. Is that heart healthy? If that heart is healthy, then when you commit a sin, then the heart is uneasy with regards to that sin. And when you are involved in righteousness, then the heart is pleased with that righteousness. Istafti qalbak, ask your heart, consult your heart. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then goes on and he says, wa in aftaka an-nas wa aftuk. Even if the muftis, they give you their fatawa and they continue to give you their fatawa, consult your heart. Ask your heart with regards to this matter. Brothers and sisters, no doubt this hadith can be easily misrepresented and it could easily be misinterpreted. Thus, we will go through it step by step, insha'Allah. We find number one, the importance of the heart. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except the one who comes to Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah with a heart which is sound. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us hearts which are sound. Remember, the heart is where one's iman, one's faith, and one's knowledge resides. And thus, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he states, "Al-birru matma'annat ilayhi an-nafs," righteousness, it is happy, it is pleased, and the nafs and the soul is pleased with this, and the heart is pleased with this. And this bir here are those matters which are halal, those matters which are permissible, those matters which are allowed for us. Then the heart is satisfied, heart is happy and content with this. Righteousness makes the heart feel tranquil, and sin makes the heart feel uneasy and wavering. Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, he mentions that this hadith is also one of the proofs for the fitrah. The fitrah, you find that some non-Muslim individual after 20 years, whatever religion, wherever he was, then he says, you know what, I just had this calling towards Islam, I can't explain it. My heart was unsettled with regards to whatever I was involved in previously. This is that fitrah, that innate nature, that natural disposition that everybody has. Walhamdulillah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, "Wa in aftaka an-nas wa aftawk," even if the people, they give you their fatawa, and if they continue to give you fatawa this and fatwa that and fatwa this, ask your heart. Your heart's unsettled with regards to that matter. Your heart is unsettled. The mufti, he might give you a fatwa that, you know what, your situation, this situation, whatever, whatever, that, you know, riba is permissible, and this is permissible, and this would be allowed, and mut'a is permissible, and this one did it, and that one did it, and this one said such and such, and this dusty book has such and such, and whatever it might be. Wa in aftaka an-nas wa aftawk, even if they give you their fatawa, etc., etc. Take note, brothers and sisters, this is obviously in a situation when there's no nas, there's no text of the Quran or the Sunnah, or there's no established norm from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a matter of ijtihad, a matter of the deferring amongst the muftis. One mufti says A, one mufti says B. It's not a black and white matter. As for black and white matters, then if the mufti gave you his fatwa and it's a black and white matter, you don't say, no, I'm going with my heart. No, you go with what the mufti says. Why? Because this is a black and white matter. Example, we find that an individual might be a bit reluctant to shorten their prayers while on travel. He says, yes, I'm in Johannesburg for one day, but I think, you know, I'm doubtful, I don't know, I will make a full salah, I think it's better if I read the full salah and not two rakahs. No, brother, this in reality, don't go with your heart. Here you don't go with your heart, why? Because we have the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, which are clear that the better thing for you to do is to shorten your prayer. Somebody else, and it happens many a times, Ibn Rajab mentions many of the juhal, unfortunately. He's traveling, and he's going through a lot of difficulty. And we know that the Sharia has given the concession for you to break your fast while you are traveling. And so he can break his fast, but no, he says, no, my heart says that this is not on, this is not good, my heart is uneasy with me breaking my fast while I'm on safar. I will continue even though it's difficult, even though I'm suffering and I'm sweating, I will continue and I will fast this. No, brother, you are wrong. The texts of the Quran and the Sunnah are clear. Some of the imams are of the opinion and some of the ulama are of the opinion that it is better for you to break your fast when you are traveling. And others, no doubt it's better if there's difficulty involved in your travel. Subhanallah. And so here you don't go with your heart. You go with your heart when the muftis have deferred. You go with your heart when there's no black and white text of the Quran or the Sunnah. The matters of ijtihad, there you go with your heart, even though the mufti, he gave you whatever fatwa it might have been. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. This advice to consult the heart, the ulama then discuss. Is this open advice to everyone out there? Or is this advice specific to certain individuals? We found that Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, Hassan al-Banna and others, they interpreted this hadith in the context of Wabisa ibn Ma'bad. They said, no, brother, don't take this hadith and you apply it and I apply it and Sumayya and Ahmed. No. This hadith was only for Wabisa. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew the heart of Wabisa. He knew the healthy heart that Wabisa had. And so he says, Wabisa, you ask your heart. Because he knew the heart that Wabisa had. And this doesn't apply to the person whose heart is all corrupt, etc. So this is an interpretation of some of the ulama. And most of the ulama say, no. This was not specific to Wabisa. Rather, this is general for all true believers. Take note, we didn't just say for all Muslims. No. For all true believers, those whose iman is strong, those who have a healthy heart. Because we all know a person's heart might be diseased, might be sick, and no amount of sin would ever move it, would ever give it any sort of worry, and he's happy in that sin, and he says, I enjoy it. Allah musta'an. That's not a heart that we use as a yardstick. Allah musta'an. We also find that some groups, some cults have abused this hadith in that you go to the individual and you ask him something. He says, you know what, my heart has told me this. Your heart has told you what? Sheikh, you know what, such and such is the situation. He says, wait 2 minutes. And then he comes and he says to you, my heart has said such and such. What is this? Are you receiving revelation? Is this some special inspiration that you are getting? Yes, no doubt you have intuition, we have firasa, you have ilham, etc. You just have a gut feeling. Sometimes you know you're in the masjid and you just turn around, you just feel that somebody's staring at you. You look back and there was a brother staring at you, subhanAllah. Or sixth sense, etc. Whatever you want to call it, khair and barakah. But these are not proofs in the sharia. Somebody cannot come and say, you know what, I had a dream last night and we're supposed to be doing ABC. I had a dream last night and the ruling of the sharia is such and such. Your dream, no matter how pious you are, this is not a proof in the sharia. Your some inspiration that you feel that you've received, this is not a proof in the sharia. Your firasa and your sixth sense and your hunch, these are not proofs in the sharia. You might go along with it, walhamdulillah, on your personal basis level, but this is not a proof in the sharia, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This hadith, hadithun hasan, rawaynahu fi musnaday al-imamain, Ahmad ibn Hanbal wa darimi bi isnadin hasan. Imam al-Nawawi mentions that these two ahadith have been narrated in the musnad of Imam Ahmad, and then he mentions also in the musnad of Imam al-Darimi. In reality, it's the Sunan of Imam al-Darimi and not the Musnad of Imam al-Darimi. Who is Imam Ahmed? Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, that great scholar, famous being from amongst the four great imams of jurisprudence. He was a muhaddith, he was a fiqhi, he was an usuli. He was born in the year 164 and he passed away in the year 241. He traveled throughout the entire Muslim world gathering ahadith. He began studying ahadith around the age of 15. He had great teachers, including Imam al-Shafi'i. Imam al-Shafi'i was the teacher of Imam Ahmed, Abdul Razak, Ibn Hammam, Sufyan Ibn Uyayna, and others. And from amongst Imam Ahmed's students, the great Imam al-Bukhari, the great Imam Muslim, Abu Dawood, and others. And it was during his time, the time of Imam Ahmed, there was that fitna of whether the Quran is created or not. And Imam Ahmed stood firm in his position and he defended the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was lashed. He has this musnad, the musnad of Imam Ahmed. What's the difference between a hadith book which is called the Sunan and a hadith book which is the musnad? The Sunan, you would find the chapters of fiqh, so salah and zakah and siyam and hajj, etc. Whereas the musnad, the masanid, the arrangement is in accordance to the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you find, they would bring up all the narrations of Abu Bakr, irrelevant to which chapter it might be from. All the ahadith of Abu Bakr, all the ahadith then of Umar, all the ahadith of this companion, that companion, that's the arrangement of the book. And the Musnad of Imam Ahmed contains between 30,000 to 40,000 ahadith, subhanAllah. And that's the largest collection of ahadith that we have around up to this day. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as for Imam al-Darimi, then his full name was Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Tamimi al-Samarqandi al-Darimi. He was born in the year 181. And he grew up studying the Islamic sciences as was customary during his time. He also traveled widely, visited Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Hijaz. And he is the one, credited with spreading the knowledge of ahadith in Samarqand. And that was Imam Ad-Darimi rahimahullah. We said that the Masanid, the Musnad, the arrangement is in accordance to the companion. You have the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, the Musnad of Abi Ya'la Bazzar, the Musnad of Humaydi, the Musnad of Abi Dawood At-Tayalisi and others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Brothers and sisters, in summary, we conclude by stating that birr, piety, righteousness, it is what? It is your good character. And your good character is not only how you interact with people, but rather your behavior with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he said, he is a shiny Muslim on the outside, but a very slimy Muslim on the inside. He's a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public, but he's an enemy to Allah in private. Allahu musta'an, mushkila, that's a major problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our outward and our inward the same upon goodness and khair and barakah. وَالْإِثْمُ مَا حَاكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. And as for sin, it is uneasy upon the heart. Heart is not happy, soul is not happy, it's not content, it's in a state of worry and uneasiness. Allahu musta'an. Even though this mufti and that mufti and this other mufti gave you fatawa, ask your heart. Your heart is not easy with this. You have a healthy heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and blessed you with this fitrah, this natural disposition. Use it and trust it. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. Until we meet again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us healthy hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May Allah record our sitting, our learning, our studying in our scales of good deeds. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day when nobody's wealth and health and family and children will be able to help them, avail them, except the one who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heart which is sound. We also know that on the scales on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ that good character would be extremely heavy if we have it. May Allah grant us good character. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Not forgetting, brothers and sisters, it's very, very easy to have good character and akhlaq and mashallah and to be a wali with people who agree with you, with people who are your clique and your gang and your friends, etc. But it's difficult, and that's the true test, when you meet those who don't see things as you see it. Those who have differing opinions, those who are from the other spectrum. That's the true test. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.